Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to The Horror Hangout, a podcast where two bearded film fans watch the best old and new horror films and then talk about them. That's not the intro, is it?
It's kind of the intro. The best and worst horror films.
Watch all the horror films. My name is Luke Condor with Kate, and joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington.
Mr. Benjamin Errington. It's not Benjamin, is it? Is it Benjamin?
It's not Benjamin, no. It is just Ben. There's no Benjamin about it.
That's interesting.
No ifs, ands, or Benjamins.
What did your parents have against Benjamin? The name.
They thought it was a shit. I don't know. I have no idea, actually. Maybe they're just lazy. Maybe they're just like, we'll call him Ben. We've got to write Benjamin down on the birth certificate now and all this shit.
That's too many letters. Just free. Man, so how's it going? You all right?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yes, yeah, it's weird doing these in the afternoon when the light's still outside.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Oh, but the nights are drawing in. So now when we're going to be doing these podcasts, most of the time it is going to be dark.
It's black. Yeah, so I borrowed Kat's headphones today because mine are on the blink, and these headphones have got a particularly egg-shaped sort of thing. I was like, my head's not that egg-shapey, is it? And then I took it off and I like drew a line around it, and I was like, no, it is quite egg-shaped.
You drew a line around your head. You led your head down on some paper and just went with a Sharpie.
I needed to know what it looked like, and then it was a perfect egg, like an egg timer.
Like an egg timer. Wonderful. Yeah, they look comfy though.
Oh yeah, super comfy. I need to get some. Today we're going to be talking about the new Netflix horror film, but have you done any other guffs this week that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I've watched a few things. Obviously we're well into October now. We're the 14th of October. October's flying by.
Yeah.
So I've watched a few bits and bobs. I did a little double feature with Creep and Creep 2.
Oh yeah, what did you think about them?
Both available on Netflix, aren't they? The sort of found footage killer, sort of quirky.
It's like Mumblecore.
Mumblecore, yeah. Mark Duplass, the leader. I've not seen him much else. I think I've seen him in The One I Love. I think that's the only thing I've seen.
There's a great film, Safety Not Guaranteed.
Okay, I've not seen that.
Really, really good, yeah.
That's sweet. So I kind of enjoyed it. But yeah. I kind of still felt a little bit, I wasn't entirely into it. I much preferred the second one. I think the second one had a much more engaging story, more engaging characters, and kind of like knowing what we already knew about the character from the first film. I think it kind of just made that film a lot more enjoyable. Where I think in the first film, it was kind of like it was the introduction to this character and sort of building him up in a certain way and revealing him slowly, slowly, slowly. I just don't know. I just didn't really find it as interesting as the second film. And also Mark Duplass's co-star, the guy who's like behind the camera, who also directed this and the second and Creep 2. I don't know. I just found him not
as an
so
actor,
great.
You mean?
As an actor, yeah. I just found him not so great. There were some things that came out of his mouth where I was like, well, would he say that?
You know? He's not actually an actor, is it? That's a weird one, because when I was watching, I think I was listening to an interview with Jason Blum, and he was saying how they didn't make it to be a horror film at first. It was just a weird little thing they made. And they didn't have like the horror movie ending, didn't have a lot of the sort of extra found footage horror movie bits to it. And then Jason Blum said, it's a horror movie. if you make it more like that, then we'll put it out through Blumhouse.
It is a horror movie, and there's a lot of cliches in it, but a lot of very nice unique moments as well. A particular moment at the end of the first one, which I thought was really executed really well. I think the second one was good just because of the co-star, the woman who was making the sort of web series about meeting random
people on the internet.
Random lonely people on the internet. I thought that was a much more engaging thing, and the fact that I think there was a lot more to her as a character,
yeah,
in terms of her motivations and where she wanted to go. I mean, it did get kind of a bit ridiculous towards the end, but I thought it was good.
Because they could have followed the same formula of not having him reveal that he's a killer right until the end. But in this one, he's like, I think it's like the first 10 minutes, he says, yeah, I kill people. Yeah. And then she decides to stay. Yeah, it's an interesting way of doing it.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was a lot more engaging this way, because I was a bit like, oh, it felt a bit unique, you know, for a killer to just be like, oh, by the way, I'm a killer. I'm kind of losing. It feels like work now. It feels like a chore. So now I'm just going to kind of tell you everything about my life. Yeah. Whereas the first one, him as a character. I mean, that's good to see that Mark Duplass has got the character's grown from the first film to the second film.
Yeah, yeah.
Peach fuzz, yeah. In terms of logic and stuff in the first film, I found it a bit, I know you've got to suspend your disbelief for films like this, but I found it just a bit naff. But the second one, good. Enjoy it.
Terrific. So I've been reading The Haunting of Hill House, and then the TV show, the Netflix TV show, just dropped the same day as Apostle. I was just going to watch the first episode because I don't want to spoil the book or vice versa. But then I realized it's kind of different because this one, Netflix adaptation, takes place present day. The book's from 1959. It's a completely different sort of take on it. And I'm not a TV person anymore, I wouldn't say. But I just don't find that draw to watch them. But I went full binge last night. I think I watched 5 episodes. Couldn't stop it. It was just really well done. I don't know. It has the sort of classic, I guess you'd say, Blumhouse style scares and every now and again. But the characters, written and directed by Mike Flanagan, who did Gerald's Game and some of the films at some point. He did some good ones.
Didn't he also do didn't he do Hush?
Hush, that's the one, yeah.
Yeah. One of the Ouija films, possibly
the prequel Ouija one. Yeah, that's quite good. But I've heard him on interviews constantly talk about his love of Stephen King. And then this, he's obviously taken a note from Stephen King. It's got the format of It, so it's present day mixing with the past. Some horrific things happened in the past, and then the present day, these family members are all dispersed across America, and they're all coming back together to go back to the house. And it's got the whole power of seven thing in it. It's got someone's got an ability that's very much like The Shining in it. But it works really well. You really do care about the characters, and I'm really curious to see what the hell actually happened in the house.
So is this the same story as the movie The Haunting, the original one and the 1999?
I've not seen either of those. Is the original one Vincent Price?
Possibly.
Am I thinking I might be thinking of House on Haunted Hill.
Yeah, maybe. So there was one in the 60s, and the 1999 one was with Catherine Zeta-Jones and Liam Neeson. I'm pretty sure Owen Wilson was in it as well.
I don't know.
That was a bit CGI. It was a bit over the top. Yeah. It wasn't so great. But I think it's the same sort of thing. But yeah, it's strange you say that he's taken a note from Stephen King because... Yeah. He's filming Doctor Sleep at the moment, isn't he?
Well, he loves Stephen King, so he I've heard on interviews him talking about how he's the kind of guy who would pick the hardbacks on launch day and will read them in a day. So I think has been doing for years.
Yeah,
But yeah, it's definitely worth it. It's I'm going to try and finish it pretty soon.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, man.
Apart from that, I've had a few cinema trips. I've seen Venom.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Have you seen Venom?
No. We were thinking about it, but then we decided not to.
The biggest opening in October, for a film ever.
Really?
Apparently, it's been doing really well. Like, critically, it's kind of bombed, but audiences are loving it. But yeah, I guess you could kind of say, like, it's got some like, horror elements in it. Like,
well, that's what they said. It feels like it's going to be body horror.
It could have been. I mean, the potential for this film to have been good were off the charts, but I really, really didn't like it, and I've got so many problems with it, none of which I'll go into now. Yeah. But, you know, when people are saying, oh, yeah, it's fine, it's fun, it's like, if you completely shut down and focus on some bits, you might maybe have a little bit of fun.
Mm.
But honestly,
didn't have any fun.
It was just like, no matter what people say, I just go, all right, then, if you had fun, just try and explain to me what the hell the plot was, what anyone's motivations were, what the villain wanted to do.
Mm.
What annoys me about this is that the poster for Venom is the world has enough superheroes. That's what the poster says.
Yeah.
Venom in this film is a superhero. There's nothing he does or says.
Doesn't he eat people's heads? In the trailer, it looks like he's going to eat someone's head.
But he's kind of stopped from doing that so many times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he might eat someone's head, but this person's head who he eats is a bad guy. Do you know what I mean? So, like, there are superheroes out there who kill all the time. Not all superheroes have a no-kill rule. So Venom is a superhero. Well, he's supposed to be like the anti-hero.
Maybe it sounds like more superhero than like someone like the Punisher who kills people.
Exactly. It felt like a film made about Venom with someone who knows nothing about Venom. Someone who has literally gone, they've read like a paragraph about what Venom is and what he represents. Oh, right, okay, I'll go make a film about it. It just feels like there's nothing in it which makes you think, oh, God, this is Venom. And action-wise, CGI was dodgy. There were things happening. I was like, I don't know what's happening there.
Mm.
CGI reminded me of like a mid to late 2000s
advert,
or like there were so many of these. So much of this film reminded me of Ghost Rider.
Yeah, that's not good. I don't think I've even watched Ghost Rider all the way through. I don't think I could stomach it.
But it's two Ghost Riders and Ghost Rider. Do you know what I mean? It just reminded me of that. And Tom Hardy is like a great actor. He's like a thespian. But even in this, there were times I was thinking, I don't even know who you are, mate.
Yeah.
Are you Tom Hardy? What's going on?
It's funny because someone Upgrade. So when Upgrade came out, people were saying, oh, it's like a poor man's Tom Hardy. But now I've seen reviews say Tom Hardy is playing a poor man's Logan Marshall Green.
Exactly.
Because Logan Marshall did that better.
Upgrade. I mean, some of the sort of body control things in Upgrade were fantastic and like really unique and odd. And the science fiction, like, I don't know, it just felt like a much more well-rounded film, even though, again, the plot was the plot in Upgrade is probably lacking a little bit, but I think it makes up for it in so many other ways.
Yeah.
Whereas Venom has like the most bare bones plot, and it just can't make up for it with trying to manage all of these characters and expectations. And just there's some things that happen in this film, I'm just like, my God, this is awful.
Yeah, so Upgrade was made, I think, for like a relatively low kind of minuscule budget, and it looks really well done. Like all the sci-fi stuff looks really great, but it sounds like they've taken quite a big budget for Venom, you know, made the money back and made it look, I don't know.
Well, this is the thing, the fact this made so much money, like I heard that Tom Hardy was possibly signing on for a trilogy, but it's just another example of this character shouldn't exist without Spider-Man. Like loads of major villains shouldn't exist without Batman, hence like with Gotham. That's kind of where my problem starts with it. It's almost like I can't get on board with something that like his origin stories, there's so much has been stripped back out of it.
It just feels
like a shit version of what could have been something great. But
yeah, I know what you mean. So I'll wait for it to go on Netflix or something, I think.
Cool.
Anything else? Any other?
Nothing. Major. I'll briefly touch on. I saw A Star Is Born with
Bradley Cooper. Yeah, I saw your Raven review.
And Lady Gaga. Oh, it was lovely. It was amazing, man. I really enjoyed it. It doesn't strike me as again. It wouldn't have necessarily been a film that I would have sought out, I don't think. But then I started reading the reviews, and a lot of people were feeding back on it. I thought I'll just go in there without any expectations, and it's like it's great. It looks on the surface, I think it looks like incredibly a romantic film, but I think it just does so well, sort of telling these stories of like addiction, like live music and the spotlight of fame and all these things. It kind of balances everything really well, and you kind of...
Is it a musical? Like, is it...
No, it's not a musical. It's like a it's a drama, but with a musical backdrop. Yeah. Whereas
whenever,
so
whenever like, you mention it, I always think of the song from Hercules. The one, A Star Is Born. Did they sing that song in it?
They don't, which is disappointing. It's disappointing, really. Isn't it?
Star is born.
It's an absolute banger, that song.
Yeah, yeah. I think, I mean, I personally love a musical or two. I think La La Land is one of the best films in like recent years. So I'll check it out, man. I'll give it a gander.
Give it your attention.
Yeah. But anyway, so today we're talking about the new Netflix horror movie that kind of came out of nowhere. I think it was doing festivals somewhere in the US, like the big ones. Yep. But I mean, I don't know where this one came from. It just sort of popped up. It's called Apostle. Have you got the info on it?
Yeah. So Apostle.
No doubt.
Apostle is a 2018 British-American period horror film, written and directed by Gareth Evans and starring Dan Stevens, Michael Sheen, and other people. In 1905, a drifter on a dangerous mission to rescue his kidnapped sister tangles with a sinister religious cult on an isolated island.
Written and directed by Gareth Evans, who did the Raid movies. I don't really know too much about Gareth Evans. I remember getting him confused a lot with Gareth, who did...
Gareth.
Southgate.
Yeah, I forgot what... Gareth, who did Godzilla and
Rogue
Monsters.
One. Yeah.
And Rogue One. Yeah. Gareth Gates.
Edwards.
Gareth Edwards. Yeah. It's Gareth Edwards, isn't it? Yeah.
I think so.
So we've got a Gareth Edwards and a Gareth Evans. I mean, come on. They're both British as well, yeah?
Yeah. So this one's Welsh. But this Gareth got me really confused because he made the Raid movies, which were made in South Korea, in the South Korean language and stuff. I don't really know. I'd like to know the story behind that kind of stuff. Yeah. How did he get over there and start making those movies? But
I want to see a film based on that story.
Yeah, exactly. But not today. We're talking about I guess it's off like a Welsh island or something. I don't know if we'd find out where this island is.
I think it's a remote Welsh island. Yeah, so I'm guessing off the coast of Wales. I didn't even really know there are many islands off the coast of Wales. Maybe it's not in real life. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? But it's got 77% on Rotten Tomatoes. 6.6 out of 10 on IMDb, so it's kind of doing well but middling. But I think they've been a little bit too harsh. I think it's actually a pretty damn good film. I think Dan Stevens, if you watch this and The Guest, I think you'll be like, wow, Dan Stevens like is a superstar. He should be like, should be in, like so much more than he is.
See, I never hugely rated him because I wasn't. So I watched a bit of Legion and I thought. I didn't watch much of it, so maybe I should have watched more. And then I didn't really like him in something else. I know. What else has he been in? So he's been in The Guest, Beauty and the Beast.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, but I need to look that up.
Yeah. So I think I saw him in The Guest, and I liked The Guest as a film, but I don't think I particularly liked Dan Stevens in that film. And a few other things that I saw him in, I was a bit like, who is this guy? Like,
who is this clown?
But then I think, who is this clown, man? What kind of games he playing? But since then, obviously now with this, I'm a bit like, well, maybe I do rate him a little bit. He's in Beauty and the Beast, isn't he?
I've not seen that. I refuse to watch it because the original is... I know we're talking a lot about Aladdin and Disney films at the minute, but you know, there's a special place in my heart.
Exactly.
He's good in this. I mean, the only downside I have of this film was it's 2 hours and 5 minutes. I think there's about 20 minutes near the end of the second act where I was like, that could have been gone. Like, get rid of that stuff. But cause it just seems to slow down. And I think they're trying to build up tension towards a pretty gruesome scene. But I just found it slowed things down a bit. Man, you got any other initial thoughts on the film?
So I didn't really know what too much to expect. I think this was, so I didn't watch the trailer for this. I'd sort of heard it mentioned a few times on various websites and stuff, and I sort of read a little bit about it, and I wasn't sure when it was coming out. And then I got an email from Netflix, and usually when you get an email from Netflix, you're like, yo, Ben, why don't you watch this? And it's like something you go, I would never watch that Netflix, don't you know me at all? Jesus. Yeah. But it was like, oh, why don't you watch Apostle? And then I read it. I was like, oh, yeah, this is out. Oh, it's out now. Oh, interesting. Okay, cool. So I went into it kind of with a complete open mind. And as I said, it starts off pretty slowly, but at the same time, it's not one of those films where, so in films like The Wicker Man, it's kind of like, oh, there's a mysterious, potentially religious cult on an island. But, and it kind of slowly reveals that. But with this, it's kind of very obvious from the start, isn't it? What's that something's going down.
Something supernatural. Yeah, like they normally have the, is it or isn't it sort of thing going on.
Not even necessarily supernatural. I didn't necessarily think that immediately. Obviously until things get revealed. But yeah, I like the vibe of this. It kind of reminded me of Resident Evil 4.
The game.
The game. Not the film. The game. It just reminded me of the game where it was a bit like somebody from the outside goes into this sort of area where people seem a bit weird and stuff, and then when shit hits the fan, shit does hit the fan, you know?
I was getting some survival horror game vibes from, there's a character in this who hangs around in like a shed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
I was like, is he from like Silent Hill or something? he looks like that sort of character.
Exactly, yeah.
So Dan Stevens plays a dude called Thomas Richardson. He's a man who's lost his faith. We find out a little bit later on that some bad things happened to him. And his sister has been held ransom at this court, and he's got a bad relationship with his dad or something. I don't know if we ever find out too much about that. But he's on a man on a mission. He's going to get his sister away from this cult. That's all we know. Michael Sheen plays the cult leader, who is sort of a good guy, but maybe in over his head. And his leadership's questioned pretty quickly on. Mark Lewis Jones, I don't know this guy. I don't know if I recognise him from...
There's a few people I kind of recognise as sort of minor actors and things. British actors as well. But obviously I didn't... Apart from Dan Stevens and Michael Sheen, there aren't really any big stars in this at all, are there?
Yeah. I think the only big guy to mention is this Mark Lewis Jones, because he is a big guy. And he plays a guy called Quint, who's sort of challenging for that. I think he's the guy who doesn't mind getting his hands dirty, like killing stuff putting children out of putting lamb children out of lambs.
Yeah. He's good at pulling lamb children out. That's his best thing, isn't it?
The film opens, we get some lovely views of this island. It's very picturesque, looks like a holiday advert for Scotland or something.
Come to Scotland, join a religious cult, possibly get tortured.
Dan Stevens, he's a bit wily, like he swaps his ticket or something on the way into the island. It's all very gritty.
He doesn't want to obviously be identified by anybody. He's received a letter from his sister, and sort of saying that she's been kidnapped by this religious cult. They want a ransom for her to come back, but there's some rules. He's got to like come to the island alone.
With money.
With a dollar to pick her up. But obviously we can tell from the start that Thomas Richardson, he's got no intention of going there and just paying the ransom and leaving. He kind of wants to pretty much get to the bottom. Well, get to the bottom of it, but he wants to just get him, doesn't he?
Yeah. So I don't understand why, if they've got the money, why don't they just pay it if they want? There's one bit later on where like it looks like
it's a principle, mate, isn't it?
Okay, is that maybe it's something, and then it can just... maybe it's like a thematic thing, because he's like, so because of the stuff that happened to him as a priest, maybe he's like, I don't want to fund, I'm secular now, I'm an atheist and proud of it.
Yeah, but also like if you pay someone who's kidnapped, someone go, right, here's the ransom then, and then you take her home, and they go, oh, bloody hell, we kidnapped her again. You're going to have to pay the ransom again. Sorry. When does it end?
Yeah, but you get better at keeping your sister locked up.
You get a receipt?
yeah, you get a receipt. But I already paid for it. You get a warranty, I think, is the way it works. So he sneaks in. He swaps his ticket so they don't know it's him. When he gets on the island, it's like a little shanty town sort of thing. I feel, is there one main building over the... Because there seems to be like an apartment building or something.
Yeah, there's like an apartment building where everyone sort of sleeps in one room sort of thing. And is that what it's in? It's like a dormitory.
I struggle to get the geography because there's like other houses and stuff, but then there's like one big one where everyone Yeah, it's like
I reckon there's a few houses, I think, where people who are in the cult, but they're kind of higher up in the hierarchy.
Mm.
I reckon they've got a lovely house themselves. I reckon all the shit munchers who are like Dan Stevens when he first arrives, they all got to stay in the dormitory.
Yeah, halfway house. Yeah. So early on, we get the idea that two of the younger ones are having it off.
That's the first plot. The first plot point that Luke wants to cover. There's two of the younger ones in it, and they are having it off. I mean, I don't know if you noticed. I did notice. Yeah.
Just bear that in mind. They're having it off. So
basically, like, the cult is headed by like three brothers, isn't it?
Are they brothers? I didn't pick up on it.
Maybe they're not actually brothers, but they definitely refer to themselves as brothers.
Okay.
So in a metaphorical sense, perhaps.
Yeah.
So Prophet Malcolm Howe, who is Michael Sheen.
Yeah.
And his dudes Frank and Quinn. So they were all like shipwrecked on the island.
Yeah.
When they arrived, and the island's like cut off from society. They don't pay taxes to, they say, the king. So I'm assuming when the last time UK, England had a king. So is it like the early
1905? So
oh right, okay.
Yeah.
So king, apparently the island, historically the island's like no one lives there because the soil is tainted for whatever reason. But for some reason, the crop, like, there are crops growing, and Prophet Malcolm Howe, he does kind of like explain to the followers at some point that when he got there, they like spoke to the goddess who would. So, but when he says goddess, obviously you do think he's kind of just a religious
nutbag. But then you do see the woman walking beside the church, and then there's like a close up of like some grass. It's like that's flourishing or something, or dying. Something, it's one or the other. Yeah. And then he's talking about how there's no taxes and you're all free because you're not taxed or something. I don't know. I think it's like a mini America or something.
Yeah. You're not taxed, guys. All right. There's no tax. You can pay the tax to me.
Apart from the blood, which we
blood
get
into. Tax.
I think is that later on? They go to the pub, they're all drinking, and that's when the two young'uns go down to the beach for a little hour with your father. He's all right, thanks. And then they...
You're obsessed with that moment. You are obsessed with it. Well, come on, then.
I don't know if we find out. Yeah. They're the children of two of the brothers, Quinn and Frank.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they want that happening.
No, they don't want it happening. They're fuming, aren't they? Yeah.
Mm. So, Dan Stevens does a bit of sneaking around, looks at stuff, sees this happening, and he makes the notes in his little notebook.
Yeah.
And then he goes back to his flat.
Well, you see, he witnesses at one point like a man cutting his wife's arm, doesn't he? Like, and draining the blood into a jar. And then for some reason, she like aims her arm at her daughter. Oh, come and have a look at this.
Yeah. Is she saying that we need your blood as well? Like,
No, come on.
Yeah. It's a bit nasty to look at. And because I don't like blood, I wouldn't be able to live on the island for many reasons. But the blood is one of the big ones. So outside all of these doors in this apartment, this corridor, they've all got little jars of blood. And then Dan just like sneaks someone else's blood into the thing. But then he cuts his thumb on the key.
Yeah.
I don't know why he'd make a sharp key. But and then it cuts to like a... There's like, I think there's a woman under the floorboards or something. Licking in the blood.
Yep.
So this is what I was going to ask. So is that, there's like an underground passage in this island. Is that underneath this house where all of them are putting the blood out? And is that like where she's getting the blood from?
I think so, yeah. So it seems that, there's quite a series of underground passages which lead from sort of one place to the other. So obviously this blood is being collected by everybody as something that's feeding this goddess, which keeps crops growing, keeps livestock healthy, I guess. Is that it?
It's good, isn't it? Like, because they're saying that you don't have to pay any taxes, but everyone's paying for their...
Yeah.
Good
what
land
would you rather
blood.
Do?
Yeah.
Would you rather pay taxes or, like, just make a jar of squeeze your hand into a jar of blood, fill up a jar of blood every month? What would you
I think
do?
As long as the taxes came out of my wages before it went into my bank account, I didn't have to deal with it. You know what I mean? But if someone like had a way of getting the blood out before I could know about it, that'd be all right with it.
Well, like you woke up the next day and you're a little bit woozy.
But then you have a biscuit. Anyway, I feel a bit weird. Biscuit and a cup of tea and you're fine.
But you're fine. Yeah. You didn't know, but someone's drank a whole load of your blood. Oh, I suppose. I know what you mean.
Have you ever given blood?
Yeah. Given blood. They give you a biscuit. They do give you a biscuit afterwards, don't they?
I can't do it. For some reason, it makes me feel really queasy. I've had like blood tests before and I've nearly fainted after they've taken it out. Something about the idea. I think because I was a kid and I had like some operations. I remember seeing my blood going up the tube and out of my system, and it just really. Just makes you lightheaded.
Oh, that's the noise it makes.
That is the noise. The little toys as well.
Yeah, as it goes up, the tube. Ow. I know what you mean. I kind of just look away and pretend it's not happening.
Like that's what I do now. Yeah.
If I think about it too much, I would probably be a bit. Yeah. But the moment of the needle going in is probably the only bit that I find a bit. Do you know what I mean? But apart from that, I'm all right with it. I mean, I don't know if I could. When you see that in films, when people like cut their hand or something, I feel like I would just be too delicate. I'd be like, oh, bloody hell, couldn't do it. Like when people like really squeeze a knife and just pull their hand all the way along it, I think,
aren't they like, ow. If you go that deep on your palm, doesn't that like sever the thing, the arteries, not the arteries, the
tendons
for the fingers? I'm sure you go too deep there, then your fingers kind of.
No, I'd cut like a fleshy part of my hand or something. I don't know. Maybe not even my hand. Maybe my ass.
Why your hand? You need your hand for stuff. And your vein. I just couldn't do that.
How can I got enough ass cheek to like know that I'm not gonna cut anything? Yeah.
You don't see it. Like, well, no. Unless you're looking in the mirror. Unless you're trying to see it. Like you can get by quite easily with never seeing your ass cheeks ever again.
No one's gonna look at you and go, "Well, yeah, what you been doing?" Well, I've just been self-harming, but on my ass cheek.
I sat on the wrong toilet seat. I don't know.
That's on the toilet seat made of nails.
Okay, so what happens now? So Dan Stevens, this weird creature thing, this woman licks at the blood from the floorboards, and then on the second day, what happens?
So Dan Stevens, he goes to so basically those two are having it off. Dan Stevens like sees them when they're on their way back from having it off, and there's a bit of a, all right, mate, yeah, oh, see you later. Well, all of them, they're not supposed to be out because there's like a curfew on the island.
Yeah.
So the next day, Thomas goes to this kid who's called Jeremy and starts questioning him, roughing him up a little bit, shows him his sister's photograph to who Jeremy's like, yeah.
Look at this. My eyes.
Oh, no, not her.
Yeah.
So he admits that like he saw her tied up on a boat, like in a box. Is that right?
Yeah.
And he sort of opened the box to have a look at her, have a good look at her. And he's heard about the ransom plot, so he knows all the deets.
Yeah.
But Jeremy says to Thomas, like, don't pay the ransom, you mug. And Thomas basically says, you're basically my bitch now.
Yeah.
You're going to basically do everything for me on this island. You're going to help me as much as I can. Otherwise,
even
I'm gonna reveal
stab people. Like, even later stab. On he says, if anyone, he gives him a knife and says, if anyone comes at you, do him in. Don't think about it. And I'm like, yeah, but why would he do that? Like, he's on their side, really.
Well, I mean, you could tell he is on their side, but at the same time, he's not sure about anything, really. He loves his young lady. Mate, when they introduced
a sort of bright-eyed, bushy-tailed young man with hopes and dreams, I was like, he's dying at some point in this film.
He's going to die, potentially horribly.
Yeah.
When you look at that,
there's like when you have a puppy or something come in a horror film, you tend to know that's not going to last there very long. And I knew it was going to be horrific when he dies. Like, you can just tell, like, he's not going to last long. That's what horror movies like to do, like to crush your spirit.
Exactly. crush your dead.
Also, while Dan Stevens is looking around, trying to get clues as to where his sister is and stuff, the guy he switched the tickets with gets murdered. Gets his throat slit, and then they realize it's not actually him. They're like, okay, so we've got a Dan Stevens somewhere on this island. I need to find Dan Stevens. And so I've not seen anything he's done, so I'm not too sure what he.
Yeah.
But they're like, we've got an intruder on the island. Let's look out for him. And then I'm like, Dan Stevens has given everyone the stink eye. Like, it's obviously him. Yeah. Like, he's like constantly just sort of looking around like he's an intruder. I was spying him, by the way.
He's like, he's drawn like a map up of like everywhere. So he's like, yes, all right, I'll draw a little thing.
He's got a newspaper with eye holes cut out of it.
Yeah, he's exactly. He's got a series of paintings all around which he puts his eyes in. He stitched this dude up really because this dude was just trying to go about his business, and they've gone, "We're looking for someone called Dan Stevens. Have a look at this bit of paper I've got. It says Dan Stevens on it. Yeah, but that's not my."
Yeah,
the shit out of him.
So at this point, the Martin Sheen's character, the father Hal, he says he's obviously not a bad guy. Like he says, "I'm sorry, he came to town looking for freedom," and oops.
Well, and now people are dying, and now we're worshiping a goddess who needs blood to be fed to make sure everything else grows.
Yeah.
Well, you get yourself into these situations, don't you? These kind of things happen.
Yeah, there's a. So at some point, I think just after this as well, they line up a few of these people who maybe didn't obey the curfew or something, all newcomers.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, read from this particular Bible passage, or I think it's a special Bible, and they're all doing it by rote. And then Dan Stevens obviously knows that when it comes to me, I haven't done my fucking work. It's like when you haven't done your own work at school.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God, it's going to be terrible.
I'll just make it up.
I would.
Boobity boobity boo.
Correct. Next.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you haven't read the really old version when they says this.
Just mumbling away.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playgrounds where I spent most of my days. And then the next person's got to do the next line. He goes, you call yourself a real?
Yeah. Just before it gets to Dan Stevens, it gets to another guy who happens at work at school. It doesn't happen at work at school. If someone else has not done the homework, you're like, yes, it's not just me.
Yeah,
like so he's obviously not deserving because he gets his knife out, says the king and country, and they're like, oh, that's not right. And then he attacks him, but gets Dan Stevens saves Michael Sheen.
He grabs the dude, and the dude like slices Dan Stevens right in the chest. And then so basically afterwards Malcolm's like I owe you a great I owe you for saving my life
owe
mate.
You 10 or 20
I owe you it's about £15 we'll call it 15
we'll get you a pint
we'll get you a pint
I don't pay for him because it's I'm the leader but you can have one
darling a pint of blood is that right okay and then his daughter stitches him up and by stitches him up I mean
the good way
physically stitches him up rather than actually stitching him up because
metaphorically
but
he gets on with the daughter I think the see eye to eye
they see eye to eye. I think they're both like there's a bloody mental cult happening here, aren't there? Is mental, isn't it? Yeah, it's pretty mental.
They say all this without actually saying it out loud. It's quite impressive.
Like she's not a brainwashed one where obviously there are a few brainwashed ones but later that night it all kicks off, doesn't it?
So they bring out Dan Stevens' sister.
Yeah, which is handy because I'll be like, oh, there she is.
Yeah.
I was going to try and find her, but now they've brought her out for me, which is cool. So basically Martin Sheen's like walking down the street with her on some sort of wagon, and he's basically going, if the co-conspirator doesn't reveal himself, I like how he says you're, which is a very Welsh way of saying here, isn't it? He said, you've come here.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. I was like, that's great.
And they're like, we're going to cut her hair. I'm going to cut her hair all off because it looks like they're going to do something bad, and then Quinn just cuts her lock off.
Yeah, which is why you start to know that Quinn, like he's not, what's his name?
Quinn. Quinn's the bad guy.
Quinn's the bad guy. Malcolm, and this is where you know that Malcolm ain't all that bad because he's not like cutting people's heads off left, right, and center. He's just like cut a little bit of her hair off, but don't cut so much of it off that you ruin the way she looks. She will be disappointed.
She won't be happy. I was telling Kat about this the other day. I don't like it when girls get haircuts because they're always disappointed with it. They're always sad about it.
Are they?
From my experience. Another
picture I gave of Nicole Kidman.
Yeah. This is why I was telling you it's better to be bold. You're never disappointed. No one can use your hair as ransom.
No. But what would they do to you if you were like, right, I'm going to... What would they do to cut a bit of your beard off?
Wax your eyebrows.
Put a big old patch in your beard because that's annoying, isn't it? When you get a patch.
Patchy beard, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, they don't do anything to her really. They cut her hair. I think they're just threatening that they're going to do something. But at this point, does she No, we don't get the...
You get sort of like left in the street, chained up, and all the kids are like teasing her and just ruining her. They're all just like smacking around the head and being a right bunch of pricks. But yeah, Malcolm's daughter brings her like something to eat and brings her a jar of super noodles, a bowl of super noodles, and a blanket. So see, she's got a good heart, this one. Obviously, we've seen that. But then Dan Stevens decides, right, I'm going to go and have a look about. I've got somewhere I need to go. So he goes into like the main house. And this is where him and Jeremy sort of work. Is it Jeremy? I've already forgot his name.
I think
it's... Sure.
The Frank. No, Frank's son, isn't it?
Frank's son. Yeah.
I think it's
Jeremy. It is Jeremy, yeah. So he basically gets Jeremy to help him keep watch while he goes into this house to look for things. I thought Jeremy may have known what was going down, so he could have just asked him.
Yeah. Wait, so at this point, does he go under the house?
Yeah, so he's going under the house, and we get Frank comes at him one way with a gun. So they obviously find out what's happening because they're looking in Dan Stevens' room, and they find the map of all the houses drawn. So he's like, right, this is the Dan Stevens we've been looking for. And then they work. So Frank goes into the house one way with a gun.
This is his headshots. It is him.
It is him.
Yeah.
And then Dan Stevens Malcolm runs.
Yeah.
On horseback. He doesn't run on
runs
horseback.
On the horse's back.
He's on horseback running. And he gets
basically jogging on the spot whilst the horse is the actual running.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just because he just got to get his cardio in for that day. And he turns up with a gun, and obviously Dan Stevens is roaming around, and he kind of realizes what's happening. So this is quite a tense moment.
One of the scariest bits in the film for me.
Oh Jesus, this bit was, I was proper like, what the fuck? So he manages to stop himself being found, he just gets himself into this underground, like sort of cave. Would you say it's like a cave?
Yeah, that's
full of full of water, but like also a load of shit.
It's like blood and is it where the blood from the sacrifice stuff goes? It seems to be like a mix of like loads of. There's like a cat. There's like a weird cat thing in there. It like shrieks and it's like, what the fuck is that?
Was it a chicken? I thought it was a chicken.
Oh, I couldn't tell. Like, but it made like a.
There was a chicken and it was still until he touched it and then it started going. Bah, 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 and I was like, Jesus.
It was freaky, whatever it was. Then this woman with. It's the woman that we saw walking around earlier, right?
Yeah.
She's like under there with him. Like,
so we're assuming that this woman is like. It's some sort of representation of the woman, some sort of like,
yeah.
What word am I thinking of?
What's it called when Doctor Strange goes out of his body?
Yeah, like that sort of. Yeah. I don't want to say a hologram, but it's a spiritual
hologram, specter, projection.
Yeah, projection. That's exactly the word I'm thinking of.
Astral projection. That's what it's
astral
called.
Projection. It's like that because we later find out that a goddess is actually tied up, like in a horrible nest. But yeah, so basically she comes out of the water. Dan Stevens sees her and he is shitting his pants at this point.
We don't see it, but you can tell it's happening.
We don't see it, but we can 100% tell.
You know, when someone's going to the toilet, but they're in the middle of the sea. He's got that face.
Yeah, are you peeing? No. And it comes towards him and it makes, what noises does she make? It's sort of like a...
I can't remember. I think I repressed that memory.
It was genuinely scary. Yeah. I mean, this could...
Also, in any other... teeth were very blue. I noticed that. I don't know if it was just my TV.
Did she? She had blue teeth.
Well, the...
she had a gum shield in. she'd had a UFC fight earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, she's blind in one eye and freaky looking and stuff. She's coming towards him.
She starts crawling towards him like, and he manages to like swim backwards away from her.
She starts singing football chants. I think that was what she was doing. You're going home in a fucking ambulance. And then she was like, she had a pint of lager in one hand, Chris Packett in the other.
Chant? I always used to think ambulance don't drop you home.
Oh, yeah. That is true, yeah.
You're going home.
Free ride home.
Ambulance.
They're going that way anyway, aren't they?
I'll take you to the hospital, but they probably won't take you home.
Yeah, I live around the corner, so it's all right.
Luke, sorry. I just realised my laptop's almost dead. I need to get my charge.
Yeah, yeah.
2 seconds. Oh, tied up.
He's tied up in a nest of twigs and berries.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're going over the Bristol ambulance.
How much percentage have you got left?
How much? Two.
Two. Jesus Christ. Cutting it close.
Ugh. Hang a bang.
So, I mean, we'll talk about it in a bit, but would this be, you reckon this would be one of your favourite new horrors of the year?
Yeah, I think so. Hereditary.
Hereditary,
I think.
Hereditary. You all good? Plugged in? Stretched? Recharged? Did you hear that noise? That's the noise that Ben makes when his MacBook's on charge.
And one. A little bit of bully.
He's got his pink. It looks like watered down. Yeah. Not Angel Delight. No, it's like little. I'm sure we talked about it before. The little dessert pots you used to get with strawberry and cream. Do you remember those?
Yeah. That one. It is like that. It's raspberry ripple flavor.
Look at that going down.
Oh, yeah. Lovely! Yeah. That's like a watery dessert, which everybody likes.
Now you're recharged nutritionally and lithium battery. Okay, so the woman comes in. He just gets out just in time, just in the nick of time, as he would do. And then he comes across a cave with paintings in.
Yeah, so there's like paintings of like the goddess and people.
Someone's phone number. Call this number for a quick BJ.
Call this number for a quick BJ. And he calls it. And he and then, calls it in.
What's his name? Daughter turns up.
Yeah, and then she turns up like seconds later with some fresh clothes and says, look.
Yeah.
And then obviously he explains to her then, Dan Stevens says, that like, my sister isn't a spy, which obviously a lot of people in this cult have been accusing her of, but she was kidnapped. Mm. They stitched her up. I know you stitched me up yesterday, but they've this stitched her up.
Yeah. And then he had to explain the concept of stitching up. And she got it. And then we had like a really good bit where it sort of cuts back to why he lost his faith. We get all the scars on his back.
Yep.
So he was in Peking. He was trying to spread the word of the Lord. And I think all of his cohorts got burned alive or something. It looked really horrific. And then they burned the cross and branded him with the cross on his back.
Yeah.
And they're like, get your haircut, you loser.
Yeah, it's a bit harsh, isn't it? I'm here to tell
at
you
that
about...
point, he cried.
Yeah. I'm here to tell you about the word of the Lord. Like, imagine we did that to Jehovah's Witnesses, just knocked on the door and we go, you like the Lord, do you? Have a branded on your back.
Branded with a hot cup of tea.
Yeah. I've literally just made this cup of tea.
My friend Woodward used to tell me
that... Is that his full name?
I think his real name is Matt, but he used to call himself Woodward. He used to tell me that he used to invite Jehovah's... I don't know if this is true or not. He said he used to like put jam on the kitchen table and make it really sticky. So whenever they sat down to talk about stuff to him, they constantly have like jam on their hands.
This is such a weird Woodward. It's up his head.
Yes, he is.
Do you just keep jam on the table all the time, just in case, the Jehovah's Witnesses turn?
I don't know if you like. He used to have a kitchen table where people used to sit on and drink tea and talk and stuff. So I'm guessing he's sitting down there, and he said they'd constantly like have to like.
It's bizarre.
Try and not. Should be upset about the jam on there.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do to these Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm going to mildly inconvenience them.
I mean, that was it. That's the kind of thing that he used to love. So.
What an absolute... He's an agent of chaos, this guy.
Yes. Yeah. So, we have that. And then, this is where I mean, so around here, I kind of feel like it gets a little bit muddled. Just as their Dan Stevens story does, because they go to some weird part of the island where there's grass that burns or something. When you put water on it, like it's like the land is troubled or something. And then we also get Jeremy is trying to take his missus away. She's pregnant and she's trying to take her away off the island. They're going to start a new life, and Quinn finds out about it.
Yeah. Just before this, it is kind of revealed like what's going on with the goddess and what she looks like, and the fact that she's in this sort of big shed. She's in a big shed.
Yeah.
And she's kind of like chained to the wall, but like she's in this weird nest of like
branches
and shit. And then she's got like her second in command, who's just like a dude who's covered in blood. I just think have a shower.
So is he not one of the island's people?
I think he is one of the island's people, but he's been like either possessed by her or like, I don't know, something. Because I don't think he's humaned. Humaned. I added a D.
My theory, I thought he was bleeding all the time because it was thorny. He just kept walking past these branches.
Because he's horny?
No. Because they were like the bristles on the trees and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I see. That makes sense.
I thought that he had, pretty soon we'll find out what happens to Jeremy. I thought someone had done that to him. And like, I thought his mask would come off and we'd see a sort of hollowed out head sort of thing going on. But I didn't think he was belonged to her. I thought he was like, the town has said like, look, keep her there, make sure no one gets to her, and keep feeding her.
Yeah, but he almost doesn't seem human in any way, because he's like,
that's what I mean. That's why I thought they might have mangled his head.
Okay.
But he's like, at one point he's putting a funnel to the woman's mouth, the Picardus's mouth, and it's forcing like body parts into like grinding this body parts and force feeding it.
Yeah.
And she was like, I'm full.
I'm full. I don't want to eat grinded body parts. Just give me a bloody. I just want a steak.
Eat your reds. Yeah.
Eat your reds. And then, we also see this guy with the horrible mask dragging like someone in a sack who we later find out is Jennifer. And he just like hangs her up, which is lovely, isn't it?
Yeah. In a sack. So Jeremy, what's his name? Quinn kills his daughter, which I was like, that's a bit too much.
He finds out that she's pregnant and he's like, you're an abomination. The child will be an abomination. This is what, when he said the child will be an abomination, that's what made me think that they were brothers, because obviously that makes Jeremy and the girl.
I thought he said that because all of the lambs and livestock were being born like mangled up and wrong because they've been born on the island. So I thought he was like, it will come out wrong.
Maybe that's the case as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Not incest.
But anyway, so he kills his daughter, like stabs her up, and then Jeremy comes in, does his best to attack Quinn.
I think he does pretty well because Quinn's
really
an absolute.
Well. Yeah,
Quinn's an absolute unit.
Yeah, he is a unit.
But obviously,
IKEA top end unit. This guy.
Yeah. Because
Jeremy's a pastry. It's like a French croissant.
I'm sure Quinn's got fists like bowling balls as well.
Yeah.
But he has a bit of a fight and he manages to like slice Quinn's neck a little bit.
Yeah.
But obviously when he stumbles out and everyone sort of starts gathering around, Quinn does his best to make everybody believe that Jeremy killed his daughter and fought him, which I'm annoyed by. Like I was like, oh, you shit. You absolute shithouse. You brick shithouse.
Yeah. They have a wood shithouse. That's earlier in the film.
Oh, yeah.
But I always thought it was a weird thing to say about someone. You built like a brick shithouse. Like,
yeah.
Is it a compliment?
Oh, thank you.
You know,
thank you, mate.
You're kind of solid. Yeah, I wouldn't prefer to, I'd rather shit inside, but like, yeah.
If I had to shit somewhere, I'd rather yeah. in you.
Yeah, but you, I don't know, yeah, it doesn't make much sense. I think you say about the people who are hard, well hard. So then they captured Jeremy and they tie him up to...
They captured Jeremy, but they captured Thomas as well. So Jeremy runs to Thomas, finds him in all the dry grass. Don't go into the dry grass!
Yeah.
There's a lovely shot here where it's sort of like from directly above, isn't it, when they drag Jeremy away. But yeah, so then Thomas is basically forced to watch as they fuck Jeremy up in the most horrible way possible. Like in like a ritualistic killing, which kind of like is supposed to...
Do you think they actually did this in like the old torture chamber days?
Oh, man. It looks like something that could have existed, definitely, yeah.
They kind of sit him down. Oh, there's a horrible bit where, because they have these vices and they crunch bits in. And we have a first person point of view shot from Jeremy as they're doing the head bit. And you hear a horrible crunch and you see blood start to run over the vision and stuff. Really horrible. And then Quinn leans down by his ears and says, I wanted this all along or something. And he drills a hole in his head. And the noise is horrific.
He drills a hole in his head with like what is essentially like a wine bottle opener.
It's like a big corkscrew.
Big corkscrew. Yeah, yeah, that's what I meant.
My dad had something very similar from like Black and Decker. Like for something. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Don't want to put your head anywhere near it.
I think it was like DT... You know, at school, we did DT. I think we had one of those drill bit sort of things for woodwork.
it was horrible because he does it's quite fast, and then as soon as he starts getting into skull, he slows down a bit and then starts. And we do get to see the moment with the big hole in his head as well. What does he do? He puts something in there.
It's like a rose petal in there or something. I don't know.
Freaky. But,
yeah. Bit of sugar paper inside.
And then, Quinn basically says to Malcolm, "You're a false prophet, and you need to kill Thomas or big bad Dan Stevens." Mm. And his daughter like begs him not to. So this is where we see like Malcolm's humanity a little bit come through.
Yeah, well, he decides not to, or
yeah,
Dan Stevens gets out. There's a bit more of there's a bit of a martial arts sort of thing.
Yeah.
I was just getting some raid vibes. Dan Stevens, I don't know, gets a stick, starts hitting people with sticks.
He like puts sticks through people's heads and faces and stabs people up.
He runs away, and then he just kicks his fence almost for no reason, almost out of frustration. You fucking
a bloody fence!
Yeah, he runs away. He runs to the shed where the goddess is. Jeremy's dad runs there, but gets shot in the chest by the creepy guy in the mask.
Creepy guy obviously takes his gun off of him, doesn't he? And pops a cap in his ass. Plap, plap, plap!
Yeah. So what happens? So this is where it starts. This goes full-on gory, crazy madness.
Yeah.
This is the fun bit, really. I mean, this is the survival horror bit where Dan Stevens unbags his sister from the room, but then gets knocked on the head.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up. Yeah.
And he's got like these hooks in his hands,
yeah,
and they're like it's weird because it's wire that's like attached to his legs as well,
yeah.
And basically the grinder has got this thing where he's sort of spinning, he's turning this crank, and Dan Stevens is getting dragged onto this platform, which is dragging him into this horrible grindy thing, which is basically just going to mash him up.
Yeah, yeah, it's like what you do to linguine pasta, but. Yeah. With spikes on top.
Yeah, I mean it's a messy way of doing anything, really, I find.
Yeah, I mean this is to feed the woman, right? The goddess. Yeah. Is there like buckets or something underneath? I didn't see any way of catching this.
I reckon there's got to be buckets down there, or one of those big gorilla tubs, you know, you get from like B&Q and shit.
Yeah. And then he's probably going to make like a raspberry ripple milkshake out of it, like the one you're drinking from at the minute.
Just like this. Basically, it looks like raspberry ripple milkshake, but it's actually Dan Stevens' mulched
fingertips. Yeah. So Dan, his fingers go in there. It's pretty horrific. But once the hooks are off there, like he's out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it would have cost him with four fingers, I think. Did all right.
Yeah.
Four fingers and some change.
But yeah, then he gets into a bit of a fight with the grinder.
This what I mean. This is a boss level. I'm sure it is. Yeah, like a game.
This is like mash. You got to mash the button to try and stop yourself getting pushed into the grinder. It's like
quick time event.
Quick time event. Mash X. Don't get mashed up.
And you get out, and then he starts having a scrap with the grinder guy, and then you figure out that you've got to put the hooks on him somehow. Yeah.
So then you've got to like reach over, press square and circle together.
Yeah.
To grab both hooks and then shank him in. Yeah. So basically he beats the guy, puts him through the.
See, so I thought it was going to rip the mask off and we were going to just see this big whole head.
Oh. That's what you wanted to see, wasn't it?
I wanted to see, yeah.
Sick bastard.
They're taking me all the way. And then the woman, the goddess, says, "Come here, love." And she sort of like, she speaks in Welsh or something. I don't know. Some language that isn't real.
Some bloody mental language that nobody speaks, like Welsh.
And then she like whispers in his ear or something. And then he sees, I don't know.
She puts like her fingers into his head, like tendrils. Sort of go in. And he's like, yeah, like that.
Yeah.
And he sort of sees everything that kind of happened, I guess, with the goddess and Ting. So I think at the same time, Quinn has captured Jennifer and Andrea, and he's tied them both up, and he's sort of telling them what happened with the goddess. So I think they found the goddess, but he decided to like keep her prisoner,
feed her rabbit blood and stuff,
feed her like rabbits and shit, and doesn't he say something about them having babies or something?
So he says the plan is, ladies, is I'm going to do you up the duff, and then when you have a baby...
Do you up the duff?
When you have babies, we're going to feed those babies to the goddess. Because...
Jesus! Look, that's every 9 months, got to wait for a meal, though.
Yeah, I don't know what the... Because she... The island isn't working anymore, right? It was, but it's not anymore. So, and the blood obviously isn't working. Is it that they're not... It's not full sacrifices or something.
Maybe.
Or,
it's because they're not feeding her like live. Or, you know, yeah, I guess it's because they're not feeding her live bits.
Yeah.
That might be it. Also, like a human, I guess, is the next level up in terms of sacrifice to, you know, obviously animals and stuff. So maybe they're thinking, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or are we all the same, mate? Are we all the same? Animals, lambs, rabbits?
Yeah.
Are we all on the same level of consciousness? Why are we the master race, you know? You know what I mean?
Why, indeed. And then, as he's like, I finished with my story now, girls. I'm going to go out the door and live my life. And as he does Dan Stevens is there and say, no, you're not, mate. Knife to the Adam's apple.
And this was a fantastic kill. This was like
everyone gets involved.
Everyone gets involved. So the two girls get involved and they like sort of choke the life out of him using... Summer, don't they?
The chains, yeah.
And as they're choking the life out of him, Dan Stevens has stabbed him, and they're pulling him one way.
Oh,
and Dan Stevens
got the knife. Yeah,
and the knife goes all the way down his torso, and it's like it's a real team effort.
Yeah. It reminds me. It is like a lot of these sort of games nowadays. Uncharted had a similar sort of thing at the end where everyone was getting involved in the fight, and you were sort of really good. I also didn't
mention just before that Thomas did actually set her free, the goddess, by like burning her.
Oh yeah.
Burns her, yeah, which was nice for her, wasn't it? But obviously we find out that she isn't truly set free. She's kind of like just transferred her goddess abilities
into
Thomas's anus, yeah, pretty much.
I think I missed that bit. Wait, so what happens at the end? I got really confused at the end.
So basically at the end, after the women are freed, they get on a boat to leave, but Thomas is like, I can't go because I've been absolutely, my hand's mashed up, everything's wrong with me,
stabbed in the ribs.
I probably should go just to try and get a bit of help on the NHS.
Sunny down there. I mean, I've been paying all them taxes for all these years, I should probably make good of it, but and he's like, the boat's just down there, love. Knackered.
Yeah, I'm really knackered. Have you seen the state of my hand? Jesus, I'm constantly flipping people off. People aren't gonna get a job.
Yeah,
so they basically leave. Thomas like lies in the grass. Malcolm turns up at the end and says something, bloody hell.
Bloody hell, lad.
Bloody hell. And, And as Thomas lies down, all the grass starts growing up around him. And his eyes kind of like become the same color as the goddess's, like the sort of yellowy, greeny.
Yeah. What's that called when that happens? I don't know. I'll remember it later on.
Your eyes change color?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's when you get cataracts and stuff, right?
Cataracts. Yeah, so I mean, as he's the grass is kind of covering him and sort of almost going into his skin a bit. So I kind of felt that she transferred her goddess power, energy, whatever, into him. So now he was, you know what I mean? He's got the same powers as her. He needs blood.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So maybe he's the new. This is a new role for Dan Stevens.
He's the new goddess.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes, queen. He is the new god. I like it. He's RuPaul's new. Drag star. What's that TV show called? I can't remember now.
It was Drag Race, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. But he wins the competition. He won the reality competition. Yeah. And he's got £100,000 to spend at RuPaul's drag shop. Okay, so the sequel is gonna be him walking around the island dressed as an old woman. Yeah. Also, but when we saw the old woman earlier on, like when he burned her, she was all bold and stuff. And like she didn't look I mean, she looked creepy before, but like she looked like really sort of like monstrous.
She's all bold and stuff. Where's your hair, love? Oi! Bony.
He like slaps her on the head. Exactly.
Mitchell Blubber. Oh, Mitchell Blubber, are you?
Yeah. Okay, so that's the end of the film. That was a nice last shot as well, I thought. But trivia, I'll be honest, this is the most difficult trivia I've ever had to do because there is like nothing about this film. I had to make some shit up. Number one, what year did the film take place?
1905.
Correct. 1-0. Number two, if you were to be sacrificed for a deity, what crop would you like to prosper in your death?
Poppies, because then people make a load of lovely heroin out of it.
Yeah.
That would make time on the island a lot more fun, riddled with addiction.
Correct. There was some opiates in there, right?
Correct.
Dan Stevens is on he's on something.
Yeah, he's got some sort of thing he drops on his tongue and he gives off his nut.
What time is it?
Well, right now.
Yeah.
25 past.
Correct. You're free for free. I told you it's very difficult to find trivia for this one. Number four. If you had the choice,
if you 26 had the choice, minutes past two, actually,
you were close enough. If you had the choice of having your head hollowed out or being penetrated by the goddess's vines, which would you go for, and why?
Probably be penetrated by the goddess's vines because even if that does eventually kill you, at least it's a bit of a
thrill. Is it thrill?
A bit of a thrill. Having your head hollowed out is, I reckon, it's just a horrible process from start to finish.
I don't know how painful that would be there because. Like once it's done the initial breaking in bit, like I don't know how much you'd be there then.
I bet it'd be more painful and it'd be dragged out a lot longer than you'd imagine.
Okay, all right. Correct. Number five. what used to be Gareth Evans' favorite birthday party game?
Used to be.
What used to be? Changed? Well, you'll have to see. What used to be Gareth Evans' favorite birthday party game?
Uno?
Incorrect. Past the Puzzle. And now we've finished that.
What did it used to be? What can it still be his favourite party game?
Because it's past the Puzzle. Past the Puzzle.
Hey! Oh, dude. That's got so many levels to it. Like, I'm still processing that.
Yeah. I like the jokes where you really have to layer in so much into the setup.
Yeah. Wow.
I remember me and a few friends used to sit around and try and think of like the most sort of jokes that really shouldn't work because you have to put up something set up. There's one where a guy said he left his packet of crisps outside by the pond and then he went, "Oh no, McCoy's." because the bag of crisps. In his coys in the pond are trying to eat his crisps.
Toy cup. Who came up? Wait, was this you and who? You and Woodward again? Was this Woodward with his jammy hands? Jesus.
It wasn't Woodward. It was a similar dude. Okay, so we need to rate the film.
Rate the film. Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was awesome. Had a good atmosphere, good vibe.
Yeah.
Genuinely quite horrifying.
Yeah.
Loads of like genuinely creepy, terrifying moments where I was like, I think the gore is great. There was like enough action in it to make it. You felt, sort of felt like you could tell who directed it. I mean,
yeah.
You know, a lot of Gareth Evans.
Edwards.
Stuff like Raid, but yeah, when the action happened, it wasn't like too over the top, and you still kind of felt like, and you know, crazy mysterious religious cult has been done a lot, but to still sort of have this film build in a way it did, and you're a bit like, I want to find out more about this cult, and I wonder what's going down with this cult, you know. I think it was done really well. I would probably give it I reckon an A minus on this.
Wow, okay, tasty. So I was going to go for a B plus. I just felt like it was a little bit long around that. I don't know. The end of the second act felt like it got a little bit muddled for me, but it was great. Also, what the I thought it was going to go more Silent Hill, which we'll talk about at some point. You know, when he lets the goddess out.
Yep.
I thought she was going to like wreak vengeance on.
Go around fucking people up, hollowing people's heads out, stomping brains in.
Yeah, exactly. But that didn't happen.
It didn't happen. Maybe it didn't need it.
No. So, next week, I think we'll be doing Resident Evil.
Yeah, I think we did say that last week, but, you know.
This one popped out of nowhere.
This popped out of nowhere,
yeah.
Caught us, blinded us. Yeah.
Penetrated us. And, So, this show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com and grab a free book. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovac Kalman for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes, and remember to subscribe. Thanks to my co-host Ben for being a real horror dude.
Well, thank you, mate.
Cheers, dude. I'll talk to you
later. Bye now.
Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.